June 16, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will begin the tafsir of our beloved brother Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihu Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. The Quran Surah 1 Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds. The Quran Surah 39, Ayah 4, Son, he was chosen whom he created. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 34, Angels bow Adam. Palms 8:5, little below angels. So Rab means Lord of all the people. What is the meaning of Lord in its original form or context in the Arabic Quran? Is Lord a person like Jesus or Muhammad? No. Who is the Lord? Allah God of the heavens and the earth is the Lord. How do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala God is the Lord? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, Lord of all the worlds. So your Lord is God, not the Son of God or God's creation. He creates no son. Men are created by God as servants, dependents, but they are no biological sons of God. God is not biologic. And this is in the gospel too. But it's confused. The language is so covered that you can't see it. God has blessed me to lift the covers, and I can see it. The gospel says God has no biological children or descendants, and I'll take any preacher, the Pope himself, to test. I will take any man on this earth to test because I know what I'm talking about, and I won't have to take them to test. They will recognize the truth quickly. Those big fellows I mentioned, they will see it right away. So what is the meaning of your Lord? God as Lord is not only the Lord of man. God as Lord is Lord of everything in existence. So what is the meaning of Lord in the Quranic text? Many of the scholars have discussed the meaning of this term. Rab in the Quran has meaning that the one who is called and entitled to that name is the one who takes a thing that still needs help to get where it's to go, and he takes that thing, cares for it, watches over it, protects it from a distance, and also with the awareness that that thing sometimes that's being done, protect it and give it what it needs to assist it on where it has to go. That is Rab. Lord, so God is the Rab of everything in existence. He created this world, but he also planned this world's protection and for this world's growth into its completion. And the law and the influence, etc., that are operating to bring matter to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for it to go eventually has been designed by God. And God, in so designing it that way, is the Lord of that matter, not just the Lord of man. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 1 to 3. Although we are called to see God in our own world as Lord, our Lord, when we say, I seek refuge with the Lord of man, the King of man, the God of mankind, what does that signify? When man has been affected by his Lord in the way his Lord wants him to be affected, he is going to be in community life. And in community life, he's going to need a ruler, a ruling order. And the ruling order is called kingdom because the last of the old scriptures of the Jews and the gospel promises man a kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And king suggests the presence of a kingdom, what is lastly. We want this kingdom to be like that which is in heaven. So this kingdom must be under God. Man is affected by his wrath to develop as his wrath intended for him to be, develop into a civilized community order. After that, he needs the Lord who will serve that order, and he needs a rule for that order. But he should see God always in his life and in his destiny. So king seen as divine is a grave mistake. So when we achieve community life, we should be aware that it is his Lord that created of the heavens and the earth who has designed for him to come to this community life. When he has achieved government and sits on the throne representing the public, the citizen, he should be aware his Lord has been in all of his development and his Lord has brought him to be king. So he shouldn't make himself to be God like many kings did in past times like Pharaoh, but he should witness and worship God. Eli God, Elihinat means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government in its head worship God, who has been all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a caller calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man who will be here for 2 or 3 years and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about man who makes an alliance for his life. When they put their hands in the hands of the leader, it is not only their hands, it is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. That is how we pledge their allegiance to Muhammad. They were saying as intelligent men of insight that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. So God's role is more than mother and father. That is as dear to me and more dear to me than believing in my mother who carried me in her stomach, her womb, and when I came out, she stayed with me, fed me, cleansed me, and helped me until I could walk on my own feet and wasn't satisfied until she saw that I could go out of the house and get a job and make it for myself. I can believe in her. I can believe in the Lord in the same way because I was nothing, and someone is telling me to believe in the one who took me from being nothing and cared for my destiny so much that he didn't even bother to introduce himself to me. He said, I don't want you to be bothered with that heavy responsibility to try to understand what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it for you or for him. So human, vulnerable, a little above the angels, who after creating them as matter enabled them to be born from a biological body of a female in a biological image or a human person, he came there and stood distance where you couldn't see him. God and watched you to see that you develop where he wants you to go. And every time you were in a crisis and the world couldn't solve the crisis, he sent a word from himself to a vessel fit to carry it. That's God, to get you to where he wants you to go. As a person of great worth, being worth so much until God, he made you a little above the angels, not in the form that you are in now, maybe, but in the form he wants in at the destination. So prophet said, meet me at the destination abundance. So here is a prophet, a leader of the faith community. He's such a leader that God wants the whole world of faith to know that they have no better leader than Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And how does he tell them that? He is the best example for those who believe in God and the last day. It didn't say for Muslims only, but for any who believe in God and the last day. If you are truly believers in religion, here is the excellent model for you. And he is enough for the whole humanity. Kanfatim Linnes, translated as enough for all people. So here is a model leader for the faith community, but he's also a leader of works. The world is coming to the point where they are going to have to meet him soon as a leader of the faith community. But before they are going to see him as a leader of the works, he is that man. We know it. Now, the works. What are the works you have to do? If you're going to call the people to faith, you must call the people to believe in the Lord who is not white, black, brown, European, not African, not Asian, not anybody from amongst us. Agree on man that you will not raise up from yourselves, lords, to the disrespect for God. So what lord are you going to call them to, brother? You are calling them to have faith, to believe in your Lord who is not European, African, Asian, nor anybody from biological life, but the one who exists in the heavens and the earth everywhere and lives eternally, he who neither sleeps nor slumbers, nor does fatigue touch him. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 1 to 7, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So the one who is the creator of all the useful things, the benefactor or the beneficent God, the one who has made available all those gifts that we recognize in the natural creation as the grace of God. This attribute brings to mind the role of man in the human society, and the social family is that of a provider. When the baby is born, begins enjoying the benefits of a home life that are made possible by the father, the provider, if its home has developed naturally or in line with normal human development, the child has its bed, its clothing, its eating table, its food, and other things that it needs to satisfy itself in its childhood. Those things are provided by the father. In the home, the father is the benefactor who provides and will make gifts available to the young children of his loins. We have in Al-Rahman a name that is much greater in description, because it is a name that covers the whole of creation, the whole of human needs, and all the needs of all creatures. Rahman for the physical, mental, moral, spiritual needs. Ar-Rahman not only covers the physical graces, but it also includes the mental, the moral, and the spiritual graces. Even the Holy Quran itself is called a gift of Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, mercy, womb. Ar-Rahim brings to mind another grace and mercy. So we see it in image or a signification pointing to the concept of the female womb, the child conceived in the womb of the mother, grows until it reaches its full development. When it delivers into the world, it remembers no pain, no bad experience from that period of development in the womb. It comes here immediately. Is provided with milk in the breast of the mother, is the food that it needs for future growth and development. So we see this too. The attributes of a benefactor providing the need for the young child before it becomes aware that it has any need. So this is a graceful mercy that comes to the creature continuously without the creature having to ask for it. It is an external growth, external grace, and continuous grace. So we have two attributes that are attributes of the divine supreme being, one bringing to mind the social image of man and his role as a provider and a benefactor. The second one brings to mind the role of the woman as one who watches over the care and cares for the tender life, gives it its needs and protects it from suffering. God, male Zeus, Apollo. Society has worshipped God in the male image and in the female image. They had God in the male image as the male sex god Zeus, Apollo, and others. Then they had the god also as a female deity, the great mother Athena, and others. At one time or another, the male sex deity enjoyed popularity as a dominant concept for people to worship. And at another time, the female sex deity enjoyed the popularity of having been worshipped by the people of the world. The supreme being is not a sex deity. God is not limited to that attribute of a male deity or a female deity. But God, Allah, is all in all, comprising all the divine attributes. Allah is more gracious, more beneficent, and a greater provider than can be envisioned in a male sex or a female sex deity. The very sign of Allah's grace in the masculine role and the gift of the original being of Creator himself, the very presence of the graces that we see when we study the female, her function, and the fruit of her womb are the graces that we see in her function as a mother. All of these things are the works of an originator. Therefore, Allah is the perfect provider and the best benefactor. So God is not a half deity, male or nor female. He is not a half deity existing in male form or in female form and attributes, but a deity responsible for the divine attributes that we define as masculine attributes and for the divine attribute that we define as female attributes. Rab involves the whole creation. So this is an attribute that means the one who formed a thing from the very beginning, who developed that thing stage by stage until it reaches the desired goal and provides for it all that it needs, is continuous existence. Allah knows the past and the future. So the one who is most worthy of our worship is that one who has been working on us from the very beginning, fashioning us and developing us to completion. He is not just a rab of a particular region or of a particular family or life, but he has done this for the whole creation. He who has existed from the beginning has no beginning himself. He is free from the influence and the efforts of time and aging. He is the image of God as the one who exists before this creation, who brought about all of these things step by step into manifestation. He is the one who knows what has happened from the earlier period of time, and moreover, he is the one who has been acquainted with us from before, our very beginning. He is Rab, the one who develops a thing from the beginning, watching over its needs and develop it stage by stage until the thing reaches completion. If he is the Rab for all the creations, all the worlds, or all the universes, then who should we fear judgment from? We should not fear judgment from a newly conceived God deity, but we should fear judgment from the God who has made all of these things possible from the beginning. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 7, not those wrathed upon. Numbers 14:2-5, Jews complain against Moses. So the people on whom wrath came are the people called Jews in the Bible. If we recall the Genesis, and particularly the Exodus, we see that the history of the so-called Jews is the history of a people who were suspicious of their leader Moses. At every turn, they were questioning him. They did not follow him willingly, and they were not willing to accept directions when directions came to them. As a result of their suspicion and rebellion, God brought upon them great punishment. At the mount, when Moses came down to them with the law on the tablets, they were a people who rebelled over and over again. They are given a name in this prayer, which means those upon whom the wrath of God fell. Here it does not say the wrath of Allah, it just says wrath. So why is the wrath in this particular prayer mentioned without the doers of the wrath being named? It is left like this because the wrath that came upon them was, as the Holy Quran says in many places, the consequences of their own wrongdoing. It was because of the consequences of their suspicion, their lack of faith, and their weaknesses. Say, one misguided Christians. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 7, those who strayed. The Holy Quran refers to them in this way because it was the early founders of the so-called Christian church who is seeking a way out of their religious confusion. In Jerusalem, took on foreign ideas from pagan thoughts. They came up with a kind of answer or an argument against the Jews' idea that the Jews thinking at that time. They went astray because they did not seek out the original way, but they sought to come up with something new. In forming something new, they introduced many idolatrous or pagan ideas into the religion. Though they went astray, they are not accused of going astray intentionally. If they were accused so, they would have been called those who rebel. They were seeking a way out of their problems and out of their confusion. They did have faith in God, and they were looking for a right way, but they did not really rely upon old established truths. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 1-3, Quran for those who believe. Bukhari, page 147. Ishan, worship Allah as seeing him. So the Quran's mission is to advance the process of freedom. Freedom is for human intellect and rational potential. You cannot enslave a man's will and or potential. So we know that the mission of God, word, and human life and society is to advance the process of freedom and not just the freedom of the physical body. This distinction is very important for the African-American people who think of freedom in the circumstances of their own life and history. When the word freedom is mentioned, it usually strikes the African-American as freedom from physical bondage or a physical restriction. The higher idea of freedom is not freedom from physical bondage, physical restrictions, but freedom of the human intellect, of that rational potential that God gave equally to all people. You cannot enslave a man's will or potential. You may capture or hold him back physically, but if he remains in the order God created him and doesn't sacrifice the spirit for forward movement God put him in, he will remain free though he may be physically confined. Quran recites to the children before they even learn to speak. Muslim parents should recite the Quran to their children before they even learn to speak. In fact, it is advised that as soon as a child is born, the Kalima should be recited in its ear. It is also very important to recite Al-Fatiha and the first line of the second chapter of the Quran, Surat Al-Baqarah, translated to count. The transliteration of the second chapter reads as follows. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dalakal kitabu la rabba fihi. Hudan ila muttaqin. Dalakal katibi la rabba fihi. Hudan ila muttaqin. Translated, it is, this is the book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guide to those who want to go right. Now, shouldn't we be giving this to our children? And we should give it to them as believers so that when it registers on them, they accept it from the mouth of the faithful. If we read these verses to our children, they would be great guidance and support. The Quran would set their attitude before the world sets it for them. It would set their attitude towards being right, towards being dutiful to God and being responsible to their fellow man. And commenting on this first few verses, we see that in the Quran, there is no doubt, no defects or imperfections. It says that it is a guide to those who desire to go right, who believe in God, who keep up prayer and give for the sake of others. So this is wonderful. It is only a few words, but look how it has established what my attitude should be and where my sentiment should go. It has obligated me with respect to my Creator and also to my fellow man. It has assured me that what it has invited me to stand upon is perfect. Authority, he has his own mind. It's a sign of clocked-in conditional rebellion and defiance. So the life of the Islamic discipline begins in the area of our spiritual tendencies that is most critical. The spiritual tendencies are the emotionality of the human being. They tend that this spirit is subject to follow. So these are sometimes manifested in thick, hardened attitudes and can't live except in that spirit. So this explains the kind of spirit we have in our society today, a fixed spirit of disrespect for authority, of disrespect for parents, of rebellion, defiance, and just being different for the sake of being different. If parents try to advise their own children as to what is best for them, the child might say, oh, I'm entitled to my own opinion. And those who go along with that modern trend will tell that child, parents, well, you know, the child has his own mind. That is a sign of intelligence. But it is actually a sign of toxic condition, rebellion, and a defiance. It is a sign of the absence of God's guidance. So discipline requires strength. The word discipline brings to mind a need for strength. So we weak people cannot discipline themselves. Take, for an example, people who overeat and become overweight. They know they shouldn't keep eating jelly rolls and extra large order of french fries and pizza. They will order pizza with extra cheese. Even though they have been told that the pizza is fattening and that it is junk food. By junk food, they mean that it isn't helpful to your system. So people must have something they give priority to amongst the things they respect. We can lose respect for ourselves to the extent that we will risk our own life, knowing that we may die if we do certain things. This is reflecting in the attitude of those who are warned of some destructive habit. If you say to them, you know, those cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol will kill you, and they reply, well, I have got to die. From something, so it might as well be from something I enjoy. Most of us have some respect for our own individual bodies, for our own individual selves, but that is not big enough to save us. The only thing that will save us is to make God the object of our life and ruler over our life. Prophet Muhammad said, you are to behave as though you are seeing Allah. For if you are not seeing him, he is seeing you. Now, if we will respect God to that extent, it will give us strength in our whole life. People who have that kind of fear and respect for a higher command in their lives have the strength they need to keep up the proper discipline. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 1 to 7. Let's take Al-Fatiha off. We know Al-Fatiha does not appear in that chapter, but the name given is since the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Al-Fatiha, the opening, is also means the victory, and it also has an allusion or a hint. It hints to another meaning, the key. Key is mufta, and the key is opening. It is in the act of opening Al-Fatiha. So this is what it means. The key in the act of opening, and this chapter is called the opening. Bismi, that is a combination of two words, by means with, and with means by. Safaratu Hunan Bishayarati, translated, means I traveled here by my car. Bismillah, you means more than in you mean by, because you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name. And you also mean that it is your help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God is your help for doing whatever you're doing or for whatever you're talking about. God is your help. Allah names word origin. Allah comes from two words. This word al means that, and ilah, like this, it means God. So ilah means any God. Ilah, this means just God. It could go for any God, go for false God, but we know it means something people worship or take for divine powers over them. And that's what it means. Anything that you think is outside of you and has power over you and is mystery, you don't know everything about it, and you believe that you are subject to it. You believe that if you do wrong, it will punish you. If you believe that about a thing, it could be the picture of a snake. It can be an idol that made in the form of a snake. If you believe that idol has that power, then that is your elect. Rahman, Rahim, from the word mercy. So the word for mercy comes from Rahima. So this is mercy. Araham means wound or family relations. It means family wound, or pardon me, female wound. Araham, wound or close family ties. At the Kulda, fear God, reverence for Araham. Translated, it is, and the wound that bore you, or the close family tie. You can translate it like that, Araham. So wound of the female is how we get the life back. So if this word is from Araham, then can't you see redemption, something being brought back? It's through the wound of the female that we get the life back, don't we? So the life comes back by way of the female. Alhamdu encompasses love, respect, and appreciation. Alhamdu means a little more than praise. It also means that the person who is praising feels an indebtedness when he's praising something and feels also love, respect, and appreciation. It means I owe you something, respect and gratitude, thankfulness. Li ilaifi, li in lalihi, li in lalifi, lalihi. It means belong to, showing possession. So who it belongs to? Illa. It belongs to God. Inna illahi, translated, surely we belong to God. You can translate it, surely we are God. It means God's people. Inna lahi wa inna lahi raji'un. Translated, surely we belong to God and to God we are returning. Ilahi means to him, that he is him. Wa ilahi raji'un. Translated, we are returning. So li, the possessive pronoun, means a very strong attachment. Now if I want to say this is my book, I would say haddaha kitab, indeed. It wouldn't be proper for me to say li. And some people may say, oh, that. But if you say la, that means very strong attachment. That means that there is a natural bond between me and what I'm talking about. So you say la for your mama. And for your children, li waladin. Translated, I have two sons. You can't say indi. That is incorrect. The bond is too tight. The possession is too dear. It's too natural for you to say indi. You say indi when you're talking about Snickers, candy bar. For an example, you say indi Snickers. La ilahi means God is the possessor. So ilahi, everything, it has that close bond with God. The earth God says, ma fassamawati wa ardi ilahi. Translated, it is whenever it's in the skies and the earth, it's for God. They say for God, but it means God is the possessor of those things. For God, they translate it, but it means whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth belongs to God. And the possession is a natural possession, not one that was formed by something that was outside of God's power. God's power formed it. God's power formed our relations with each other. As well, you have to say, last, my mother. I have a mother, ummi. La ummi, or la umma, translated, I have my mother. Very strong ties, bond, la. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said for that, it means that it belongs to him by its very nature. It never belonged to anybody else before it belonged to him. That's what it means. Maybe somebody else got it later, like man got the whole world later, but it means it belongs to God. And God is the first, and nobody had it before God. That's what it means when we say that. So Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillahi, see that strong laugh? The praise, Ilahi, it is for God. It was for God before man was created. It was for God. Nobody gave him that. He owned that praise before anything existed. That praise was his, and that is why it is that. Alhamdulillahi, praise be to God, the Lord of all the world. So Ar-Rahman, the Ar-Rahim is repeated, and we will discuss that later, maybe for you. Then Maliki Yawmiddin, it is a long A, like ah. And this is L. And this is K, Maliki. A translated master. It means king also, and it is because king is the sovereignty ruler, and he makes all the decisions, and he does not ask anybody how he should make his decision unless he wants to. So that is his privilege, to invite somebody to contribute to his judgment, but he does not have to. And that should be no one but God. Iyaka means my whole attention is only on you. The next word is Iyaka, means not only thee do we worship. It means that my whole attention is only on you. When I think of my God, or when I worship, my whole attention is only on you. Nahabudu, worship gives the master complete authority. Translated, you alone we worship. So the word worship actually comes from a word meaning slave, abdin. And God calls us ab. Ab is slave or servant. But ab, it is a servant that has given the master or the boss complete authority over him, or has accepted that boss has complete authority over him, or has accepted that the boss has complete authority over him or her. That means if you want to marry a certain person, you have to go and ask the boss. Slaves are not supposed to marry anybody without the boss, the slave master's permission. So the slave master picks the mate unless he's pleased with the mate the slave wants. If he is not pleased with her, the master picks the mate. Or he may say, no, I'm sorry, you cannot marry. I can't afford to have that. My business won't run right if you want to bring in a new wife or a wife. So this is an ancient practice of people finding a person who has money and asking that person, could I work for you for the rest of my life? Be your servant for the rest of my life? And if the person accepted, yes. Or the person who wants that kind of a servant might say, would you like to come and be my servant for the rest of your life? Or for 2 years or for 10 years? If it is for a term, then they have a contract. And you cannot break that contract. If you break that contract, you are seriously troubled in most of the world. So we don't have it here in the Christian world. We don't have it. And in certain other religions, you don't have it. But you might have a drug pusher that'll kill you if you do something without his permission, worse than slave master. Nesting means to ask with passion and feelings inside your heart. But it is more than just asking. You are asking with a lot of passion and feeling in it, because just to ask for something, there is another word in Arabic. But when you ask God this word, nastin, we ask with our hearts in it, with our feelings in it. And we are asking you with strong feelings. We are asking you. You alone we ask for help. No, you are supposed to ask your mother for help. You are supposed to ask somebody or anybody to help you that you think needs help from, but not with the kind of passion and feelings inside your heart. When it comes to God, there is a bigger dimension. There is a bigger side for our love and our passion and our concerns. Our concerns become much bigger. God, please help us. Help a good family. We need to ask. We need to do what we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God, please help us have a better family. If you do it, you will get it. That's right. Even if the bad ones making all the trouble might have to go to jail or die. But many times the worst one becomes the best one, has a turnaround for his life, and become the best one. You alone, we implore for help. Implore is a strong that connects strong passion, or indicates or expresses strong passion. We employ, not employ like you employ somebody to work for you. It means to turn to somebody asking for something with a lot of passion. It's Dina guide us. Mustaqim is the path of uprightness. Mustaqim is translated as straight. Guide us on the straight. And I will guide us to the straight path. Surato is path. Al-Mustaqim is the straight, the upright. So the path of uprightness becomes this word, mustaqim, comes from this word, karma. It means to stand up. Mustaqim is taken from that word, karma. That means to stand up. Makdubi expresses God's displeasure, anger, and wrath. So the word Makdubi is in the objective case. Again, what we are talking about hits them. They are the people that something hit. God's displeasures, God's anger, God's wrath, his rejection of them, hit them. It is from the word Gadaba. Gadaba, it means to become angry or become very displeased. When you want to do something about it, you want to hurt somebody. And this comes from the Bible. This is the same word that was used in Scripture before. And they incurred God's wrath. This is the Bible. Walladalin, dala means to miss what you are aiming for. So this is two L's. And dalin means those who miss what they were aiming for and went astray. So that means they went astray. Like I was trying to throw something to hit a certain thing, but it goes off from that target, my throw, dalin. A dollar. It went off from the target, missed the target. And not those who missed the way or not those who went astray. It means the same thing. Alhamdulillahi. Li indicates natural strong connection. God says, Ilahi for God. Ma fassamawati wa ardi ilahi. He didn't say, Indalaha, No, because that relationship is much stronger. So when I say I possess, I have something in thee. It's like money. It's like a car. It's like those big, those things. But if I'm talking about my son, my daughter, my wife, it's no more in thee. It is thee. Very strong connection. Natural connection, maybe we should say. A natural connection, like my son, a natural connection to me. So when God says of himself, Elahi ma fesemewati wa addi, he is saying that these things are mine first. Before they were anybody else's, they are mine. And they are mine above everybody else. So I'm the owner of everybody else. I have the first rights to it, etc. So like a woman will say, you this to my daughter. I don't need you to tell her what to do in front of my face. Don't be telling her something that you want her to do in my face. God has that right over all of us because he made everything and made us. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayah 7 to 7. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 87, 7 repeated verses. The Quran, Surah 93, Ayat 7, he found you wondering. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 144, turn your face to Kaaba. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 6, we destroy the people greater than you. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 49, crucify the body on opposite sides. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 12, you guide us to our path. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 36 to 38, gets you down from here. The Quran, Surah 20, Ayat 55, from the earth return it, then resurrect it. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayah 76, Allah above those who have knowledge. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 11, come willingly or unwillingly. 1 King 4:25, every man has own vine and fig tree. Matthew 10:38, taketh not his cross. John 19:33-34, Jesus stabbed, water and blood came out. El Hadith, page 2, 123:13-17. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, man of sin and throne of God. 1 John 5:6, Jesus came by water and blood. Isaiah 16:6, Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Luke 6:26, woe when all speaks well of you. Al-Fatiha read with 7 steps. When you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You can read it in line by line. It's okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as its 7 matching verses, 7 that comes in 2s. Nafina is the Arabic word. We want to stop 7 times. 1. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 2. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanu Ar-Rahim. 3. Maliki Yawmiddin. 4. Iyaka Na'abudu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. 5. Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. 6. Suratul Ladina and Amta Alehim. 7. Gairu Magdubi Alehim Waladdalin. So this is what we want. Let us establish reading Al-Fatiha that way. Make 7 steps. So this is leadership. You establish what you believe to be the logic. Don't buy it from other people. If it is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. So the first stop comes at the end of the opening. The second stop which comes at the end of ayat 3, verses 2 and 3. Stopping at the end of the verse 3, that is the second stop. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this chapter is revealed with seven latching that comes in two duas. Now let us study what we have done. One, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, where are the two? The two are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Two, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Where are the two? We prayed and we repeated. It is the same thing, but we said of all the worlds. So the two matching is two match. What is in the first ayat? With Rabbil Alameen, that this God is Lord of all the world, not the Lord of Israel. The Bible says the Lord is the Lord of Israel, and it doesn't say it is the Lord of anything else. It is always the Lord is Israel, never the Lord of anything else, of other people. I read the Bible. You read it. Can you recall it saying the Lord of anybody else? The Bible says the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord of Israel. So Lord of Israel is exclusive of the rest of humanity. Quran is concealing, the Quran is canceling out the errors in the Bible. So no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord of all the worlds, not just Israel. So they must have done something wrong saying the Lord of Israel. And they did. Where did you get the nerve to say that God is your Lord and not the Lord of everybody? They are establishing themselves as an exclusive people who have rights before God or in the presence of God that all other people don't have. And this is a big sin. And this is what the Quran is addressing right here in this surah, this chapter. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is one time, and then again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim repeated. Is this repeated twice for no reason? No. It is repeated twice for a real good reason. The same people who say God is their Lord in a very exclusive way to make themselves his only begotten. That is what it says, not Jesus Christ. You need to come away from the church now and come to the masjid. And here Imam W.D. Muhammad give you what you missed in the church. David is called the only begotten of God. Before Jesus is called the only begotten. And that is why the one that they point to, the Jews say, Jesus, the son of David. And if he's not the son of David, we can't accept him as Christ. Only David the Christ must come through the lineage of David. That is the Jews' position. The Quran's position is that you are wrong to make these claims. God is the God of everybody, the Lord of everybody, it says. Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. That is in the chapter of the Quran. It says, no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is Rabbin Nas, the Lord of mankind, Malikin Nas, the king, the master of mankind. It means the judge who was going to set over everybody and judge over everybody, Ilahin Nas, and he is the God. Ilah means what you worship. He is Ilahin Nas. He is who mankind should worship. This is Quran. So Jesus' crucifixion is the Father sacrificing himself. So previous scripture says the Lord repented. He made man. Rahmanir Rahim is repeated because they acknowledge that God is our Rahman and that he is our Rahim from generation down to generation. And then comes the idea that God did something wrong. And he has to repent his own creation that he made. man because man has messed up the world. So he repents, and how does he repent? He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, peace be upon him. And then by repenting and giving his life, sacrificing the life of his son, which is his life. Understand that now. In this so-called logic that is not logic at all, he sacrifices his son, but actually his son is him. So he puts himself in the flesh so people in the flesh can see him sacrificing himself. Then he sacrificed himself, and then sacrifice is the mercy. So he was a hard God, a harsh God. Too harsh. Now here comes the new face. This is the loving God, the Jesus Christ. This is me again. I'm coming again. Don't you like me now? See how I suffered for your sake? Instead of punishing you, I suffered. You had too much of me punishing, so now I come to love you. Even if you treat me bad and hate me, I love you. And I go out like that to win your heart over to me again. This is a story. So the Quran is challenging that thing. You recognize that God is the merciful benefactor, that he was generous to mankind and gave him a beautiful creation to serve his needs and gave him abundantly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he gives without counting. And the Bible says there is no limit to his mercy. It is infinitive. No counting can count the end. You never know. You cannot go to the end of his generosity and mercy. The Quran says number. Say no number can be put on what he gives us, mankind. So the Quran says you acknowledge that he is Al-Rahman, but he is also Al-Rahim. And his giving, the bounty that he gave you and giving you, that he also illustrated his mercy because he gives so generously, that is kindness, that is mercy, that is love. Wasn't all that established before? This is the argument of the Quran, saying, didn't he establish before you he loved you? Well, why did he have to say he had to come here in flesh to love you? All that given before, wasn't that love? So it repeats Al-Rahman coming from mercy. The root word of Al-Rahman is mercy, and Al-Rahim, the root word is mercy. So no, there is one God, and he is both the God of the Old Testament and God of the New Testament. And you have misjudged the God of the Old Testament. In his generosity was mercy. And you claim that the second manifestation of him in the New Testament is him. No, he had that all the time. He has never been without these two mercies. These two mercies have always been with him. He has always been Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. He didn't have to come in the flesh of Jesus Christ to establish that he is Al-Rahman, and he didn't have to do it to establish he is Al-Rahim. So it is condemning this duality of God, the Trinity of God, really. But the duality is challenging directly that there is but one God. So the one you misjudged in the Old Testament, you don't see his mercy. You are wrongly identifying him. He is merciful. He is generous and merciful. And the one that you claim is the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, comes to redeem that which was lost, to bring it back, to restore what was lost. Not just the people, but to restore the quality of the life back to the people that they lost. So he is the Redeemer. And his mercy is in the Bible, is called redemptive mercy. Isn't this mercy and isn't this redeeming at the same time? So this meaning and the answer that we should understand. Jesus, one of the Jews God put himself in, is wrong. So he is Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, then praise. Who are you going to praise? If you are going to say one of the Jews that God has put himself in, and he has come in the flesh of the Jews to save the world, then who are we going to praise to? Israel and Jesus Christ? No. Praise be to God, only not the Lord of Israel, but the Lord of all the world. So here is the challenging, condemning their claim that God is their Lord to the exclusion of other people, and only other people, Lord, by adaptation. So this is the Bible. I know the Bible. Don't think I don't. Salakallahu Badeen. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Gates. I thank New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It means only if it please God. We thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.